Okay, Rabbi Yosef, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Nun Ches. We are holding at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We've been talking about things that a woman and other people are not allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. We had a couple of reasons for this. Most prominently is that they may come to take it off and show it to somebody and then be Mavid Dal Aramas B'Shus Arabim. That was, you know, true for jewelry and different types of hats that were not covering her entire hair. And the last thing we had mentioned was something about an istama. An istama was the scarf or cloth that covered loose strands of a woman's hair after she tied her hair up. And that, we said, she's not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos because, again, it's not crucial to the head covering. And she's obviously not going to take off her whole hat or her whole head covering to expose her hair. Chas v'shalom, she wouldn't do that. But to take off this little, this kind of like adornment at the edge of her hat that catches all the loose strands, so that's not crucial to her head covering, and then she may come to take that off. Therefore, it's usher for her to go out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. So now the Braisa, the Gemara is going to talk about a couple things with this, and then we'll jump into other topics that we've mentioned already. So Tana Rabbanan, we're two lines up from the bottom. Gimel Dvarim Nemru Be'istama. We said three things about this istama. About this scarf that a woman wears, ain bamishim kilayim. It's not chayiv from kilayim if it's made out of wool and linen. Rashi writes because ain tavuya, because it's not sewn, it's not woven, interspersed. The linen and the wool, it's kind of I'm not sure how they make it, but it's not. Maybe it's kind of attached. Right, kamin lavad. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it's not woven in the strands anyway, so it's not shayiv to kilayim. It's not susceptible to tzaras. Rashi says that it's the exact same reason, because kilayim also needs to be a beged, and it has to be also, you know, be able to be chayev in kilayim, and it has to be sewn, and or I guess woven is probably a better word. Ve'in yotzin l'rishus harabim, and you can't go out in the rishus harabim with this istama on her hair. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru, Rabbi Shimon says, Af ein ba mishum atros kalos. It's also not subject to the gzera of atros kalos. That was a gzera that Rashi explains that they made after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that a bride should not wear this type of crown, this type of jewelry that she used to wear back in the day. Similar to our minhag of putting ash on the kala's head and having the chosin stamp on a glass, because we're trying to be memayit the simcha by a wedding. So a bride is not allowed to go out with this crown, but that this istama does not count as one of those crowns, and it's mutter for her to wear it. Okay. Now, we had said before that a kabul or a kavla is usher for a woman to go out with into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and we had discussion of what was that. We had two options. The Gemara on Amud Beis and the Zayin Amud Beis had decided that it was a woolen type cap. But another possibility was that it was the logo of a slave. Like a slave wore this type of mark on his clothing, or I guess you'll see it around his neck in a second. Where I'll discuss exactly where it was. To identify that he belonged to his master. That was the Gemara kind of dismissed that. But Shmuel Amar, now back in the Gemara, Shmuel Amar Kavla de Avdetan. We're talking about actually an Eved's Kavla, an Eved's logo, an Eved's Simon. And that's also for him to go out into the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Gemara says, "Mi Amar Shmuel Halchi." Did Shmuel really say this? Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Yotzei ha'eved b'chusim shebet zavaru, aval lo b'chusim shebet zuso." Depends on where he's wearing it. A slave can go out if it fits around his neck, then he can go out with it. But if it's on his clothes, then he can't. So what's the deal? Can he go out with it? Can he not? Does it depend? Gemara says, "Lukasha ha'da aved le'rabe ha'da aved ihu." Now, it depends on who made it. If his master made this logo, so then, well, he's going to be afraid to take it off, and therefore it's going to stay on him. We're not concerned. He may take it off or carry it, whatever, Dalam Shusaravim. But if he made it himself, so then we, you know, obviously he's not afraid of himself, but there's no concern there isn't already now a concern, because he's not afraid of his master. He's not afraid to take it off if necessary. Why would a slave make a marking for himself? So I saw somewhere, it's not in Rashi over here, but I saw somewhere that maybe a slave would be either entitled to some sort of, not really a tax benefit, but basically if a tax collector would come around, you know, he would know he's a slave, he wouldn't go to him for taxes, obviously, because Evan doesn't have any property, But for whatever reason, he needed to identify himself as a slave, so he would make his own kind of mark. Okay, fine. But anyway, so that's the difference. That's when, if it's mutter, if the master made it, because he's afraid to take it off, and it'll stay on him, there's no concern, he'll carry it to Al-Amish or Sarabim. But if he made it for himself, so then, you know, then it is Osir. So the Gemara attacks this. 1 second. B'mayu kimta. L'hod ha-shmua. What did you establish this case? The Avile Rabe, where the case is where his master made it, the Chosam Shabaksuso, and it's a mark on his clothing. So am I low? So why can't he wear that? Meaning, if it's meaning his master made it on his clothing, right? You said that the Halacha of Shmuel is that where he said that it's mutter for him to carry it on Shabbos, is where his master made it. Yeah, so therefore, what's the problem? Meaning, what was the teretz? That the first brisa, when it's in Kavla de Avda Tanan, meaning our Mishnah, that we're talking about a slave's logo, so that's when his master made it. That's when he made it, and therefore it's Osir. And the second brisa, which says that it depends on where he's wearing it, that's if his master made it, and therefore it's mutter for him to go out if it's wearing around his neck. So the Gemara says, well, if his master made it, so then why would it be Osir for him to wear it if it's on his clothing? Says Dilma Mifsuk, because maybe what will happen, it'll tear off. Umirtas, and then it'll be afraid. Umikapule, and he'll fold it up. Umachisle akafte, and he'll carry it on his shoulder, meaning he'll fold up the area where the logo was. Right, you can imagine it was either on the shoulder, like on top of the shoulder, like you know, like he's in the army or something, or perhaps right next to the armpit. But could the Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hayotze Vitalis Mikupeles, if you go out, and this is the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said, if you go out with a talis that's folded over, Umanachazal Aksefav, and it's folded up and it's kind of like raised up on your shoulders, Bishavis Chayev Chadas, you'll be Chayev Chadas, also Midaraisa, because you're not wearing it in the normal way. So what's going to happen? The slave has this logo of his master, his mark. Excuse me, and it may come off, and what's he going to do? He's going to fold up his clothing to make sure, so the master doesn't see that it came off, because he's going to be afraid. The master's not happy if he takes his logo off, so that will be a problem, because then he's already folding up his clothing, not wearing it the normal way, and he's going to be chayv for otzah on Shabbos. V'chiyada amrele Shmuel Rav Chinna Bar Shila, and this is what Shmuel said to Chinna Bar Shila. Kulu Rabbanan de Beresh Kaluso lo lifku v'sar v'lei chatime levad mincha. All of the Rabbanan of the Resh Kalusa's house, meaning apparently the Resh Kalusa, the head of the Galus, had like his team, his army, his Rabbanan, and they had signs, meaning like I'm shayach to this Resh Kalusa, I'm shayach to this Resh Kalusa. They had like a logo that they would wear, and apparently Shmuel said to Rav Chinna Bar Shila that all of the Rabbanim of the Resh Kalusa can't go out with these logos on Shabbos, except for you. The lo kapti alaych to Beresh Kalusa, because the Resh Kalusa, because Rav Chinna Bar Shila was so loyal to the Resh Kalusa, he wouldn't care if he saw Rav Chinna Bar Shila in public without the logo or without the simon, because he knew he was loyal to him and he would pass him like him, etc., etc. So not only by slaves, you see, by I don't know, it's not lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, it's not a gang, but it's like the same idea. That if there's some sort of simon that a person is wearing, for whatever reason, and he'd be upset and be nervous that someone saw him without it, he may come to kind of fold up his clothing like that, so that would you know, to hide where it came off. So that would be osur as well. Okay, Gufa, let's go back to something we said before. Amar Shmuel said again, Yotze Haiva Bechosim Shabbatavara, Volo Bechosim Shabbatsuso. Again, Shmuel distinguished between where the sign is, if it's on his neck, around his neck. So then that's fine. But if it's on his clothing, so then it could rip off, right? And again, we said that whole shakal v'tarya with folding the clothing over, etc. The Tanya Mihachi, we also learned that Braisa, Yotza Yeva, Bechosim Shabbat Savaro, we learned the exact same thing, Alvalo Bechosim Shabbat Suso, right? So we learned the same thing in a different Braisa. Or Minu, hold on, I'll ask you a question. This Braisa says an Evid cannot go out with a logo or some sort of simon. Whether it's around his neck as a necklace, or whether it's sewn into his clothing, v'zeh v'zeh ein mekabel tuma, and neither of them are mekabel tuma. Rashi says delav lanoi ovid, because it's not a decoration. Shei tame, right? Things that are able to become tame are usually, we say that tachshitim are able to become tamei. This is not a tachshit. This is not something that, you know, someone wears proudly, right? He's an eved. So therefore, it's not makabel tuma. Lo bezug shebet tzavaro, and he's not allowed to go out with a bell around his neck. Aval yotze hu bezug shebet ksuso, but he can go out with a bell on his clothing. We're going to dissect this price in a minute if you're wondering what the difference is. Zev is a makabel tuma, and both of these bells are makabel tuma. Many they're considered a kli, or they're considered a tachshit. We'll talk about it in a second. Velo seitz behema, and an animal cannot go out. Velo bechosim shebet tzavaro, velo bechosim shebet ksuso, with any type of bell, whether it's hanging around its neck or because it, or if it's hanging from its clothing. Velo bezug shebet ksuso, and not with that's the chosim. Sorry, that's with a seal. That's with an emblem. An animal's not allowed to go out with an emblem on its around its neck. Some sort of logo, whatever, simon, or any logo on his clothing. And this is the bell, and it can't go out with any type of bell, whether it's around its neck or on its clothing. But the bells are not mekabel tumah. So, one second. So, you told me, what's the deal? Can, as we said at the beginning of the brisa, is an eved allowed to go out with this simon around his neck or not? So the Gemara says, Lema de ha David Rabbe, you're going to tell me that the first brisa is when his master made it, and therefore it is mutter, but the second one is when he made it himself. So the Gemara says, no. Both of the brisas are when his master made it. So therefore, why in the first brisa would it be mutter if he hung it around his neck, and the second brisa it's aser? It depends on what it's made out of. If it's made out of metal, so then it's mutter. If it's made out of tit, which is like earth and clay, all the way around, sorry. If it's matachas, then it is aser. And if it is made out of earthenware, not really pottery, because we're going to see the difference. This is like, tit is like the earthenware material. Clay is the stuff they make out of, but they don't actually fry it, that's the wrong word. They don't actually bake it in the oven. Right, it's like they leave the clay to harden. Right? You ever, your kids come home with that stuff that they kind of do arts and crafts at school. Right? They don't actually make usable bowls or cups. Right? They come home with like some Play-Doh type hard cup. Right? Like young little kids. Anyway, that's tit. It's very disposable. So Kudurav Nachman bar. Let's back to them in the Gemara. Kudurav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Debar Hamafkid Olav Rabo. Ein yotzimbo, David she'ein makbid. Sorry, my bad. Back again. What's the difference between metal and this tit, this earth, this kind of clay? Well, we said again that the matechas is aser, but the clay would be mutter. Could Rav Nachman amar Rabba baravua? What did Rav Nachman say? Davar hamakpid alav rabo. If you have something that his master is going to care about, right? A metal logo, a sheriff's badge that's made out of metal, so the master cares about that. He wants that back. He doesn't want the eved to lose it. So then we're concerned that if it falls off, the eved might come and carry it down the Amos Rishus Rabin. So therefore, ein yotzin bo. You're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. But davar she'ein makpid alav. If the master doesn't care about it, like a clay. Earth type, logo, so then the master doesn't care, I'll make another one, what does he care, it's not worth anything. So then Yotzinbo, then you can go out with that on Shabbos, because if it falls off, you're not going to carry it because you're afraid of your master. So can I mistavra? So too, it makes sense. It makes sense that we're talking about a metal one, when we said it was aser. Midgatani, because what do we say right after that? Zevzeh in mekablam tuma. That both of these types of seals, whether it's on your neck or on the clothing, are not mekablam tuma. Because if you're going to tell me it's made out of metal, so that's why you need to tell me it's not mekabel tuma. So honey, who do mekabel tuma? Hakelim did who mekabel tuma? Because the default position, what's the default? When you have metal items, metal kelim, they're mekabel tuma. So therefore, you need to tell me that this logo, this seal, is not mekabel tuma. Ela I amres bishaltit. But if you're telling me that it's made out of this clay, honey, who do mekabel tuma? Hakelim did who mekabel tuma? What do you mean? You're telling me this earth-type stuff, this lousy clay, kalim, are they mekabel tuma? No, the default position is that they're not mekabel tuma. Right, v'hatznania, we learned in a brisa, clay avonim, stone kalim, clay galalim, any kalim made out of dung, clay adama, and this type of clay, clay, no pun intended, right, the clay kalim, in the kalim tama, lo midir b'tara, lo midir b'sofrim. There's not even two midir rabbanon. So you don't need to tell me that these tit-based logos are not like Abutoma, because anything that's made out of tit is not like Abutoma. That makes a lot of sense that brisa that says it's usher is talking about a logo or some sort of seal, an emblem that is made out of metal. Excuse me. Amar Mar. So Mar says two dots. Viter. Velo bezug shem tzavaro aval yotze hu bezug sebuksuso. We said that he's not allowed to go out with a bell that's around his neck, but he can go out with a bell on his clothing. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Zug shabitzavaro omailo. Why can't he go out with this bell that's around his neck? Dilma mifsak, because maybe it'll come off. The asi lasuye zug, the vasi lasuye, and he may come to carry it. The Gemara says, zug shabitzavaro nami. So what's the difference between that? Maybe the bell on his clothing also. Leichush dilma mifsak vasi lasuye. Maybe we should be concerned that it'll come off and he'll end up carrying it. Because it's been attached by a mumcha, a master, a weaver, a tailor. It's been attached to the clothing. You don't have to worry about it. It's sewn on really well. Ukter Rav Huna Breder of Yoshua, the Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yoshua, calls you Arug Lo Gozru. We had this a couple yesterday's daf. Literally anything that's woven is not considered part of the gzera about going out into Rishis Rabim. There we were talking about something that was mesh, that it's not considered a chatzitza. Something that's kind of interlocked with like a chain, it's not considered a chatzitza for a girl to go to the mikvah. Here is a different application of that. If it's sewn on very well, so then it's not part of the gzeira not to go out because it's not going to fall off and you're not going to end up carrying it daladamas versus rabbi. Okay. Alamar. We had said in the Brisa as well, an animal shouldn't go out with its logo but hanging around its neck or sewn onto its clothing, right? Like what's it called we had before? Like the donkey had a sheet that you put, a cloth that you put under the saddle. That's an example of an animal's clothing. An animal shouldn't go out with a bell around its neck or a bell is attached to its clothing. And neither of them are mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, "Vizug de behema im mekabel tuma." Wait a minute, a bell, an animal's bell, is not mekabel tuma. Or minu, I'll ask you a question. Zug shel behema tsmeya. This is a pretty good question. A bell of an animal is mekabel tuma. Vishal delas tahora. But if you have a bell that's for a door, a doorbell, that is not mekabel tuma. Rashi says, "Delas mechuber labayasu." Because a door is connected to a house, so that's mechubah lakarka. We know that anything that's mechubah lakarka is not makabal tuma. Anything connected to the ground is not makabal tuma. Ve'ino kli lakabal tuma. And this bell is not considered a kli in and of itself. Sorry, that's the next line. Ve'zug ha'asui lo'i batil legabe. And the bell is considered batil compared to the door. It's considered part of the door, and therefore it's not considered its own kli. The Gemara just continues now, just to clarify a little bit. Sheldelis vasol behema. Let's say you had a doorbell and you used it and you changed it to make it, for a behema, for an animal. Then it's tamei. Then it is tamei. But shel behema vasol delis. But if you took a cow bell and put it, attached it to your door to be a doorbell, avol pisha chibru ledelis. Even if you attach it mamish to the door, v'kavu b'mesmerim and you hit it, hammer it in with nails. Tamei, it's still tamei. Why? What's the reason? Right? I thought you could change it. Right? If you tell me you can take it from the door and put it on a cow and becomes tamei, why can't you take it from the cow and put it on a door and let it not be makabel tamei? So the Gemara explains, shekala kelim yordin ledei tumasim b'machshava, because how do you make something makabel tamei? That's only b'machshava. If you designate something in your mind to be a kli, then it's already a kli, and it's mekabel tuma, assuming it's made out of the right materials. So a bell, when you decide to use it for a cow, already that's mekabel tuma. But the in only midit tuma, but you can't get something out of its mekabel tuma status, ela b'shinei maisa, unless you do something to that item, unless you break it or you change it in some way. So just nailing it to the door is not going to take a cowbell and bring it out of its ability to be mekabel tuma. So either way, we have a brisa. We saw very clearly that a cowbell is mekabel tuma. Our brisa that we quoted at length on Amud Aleph says that it is not mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says lo kasha. It depends on whether it has the bell inside. If there's a bell inside, so then it's Mekabel Tumah. It's a functional bell, right? Whatever is a bell. But you know the thing that makes noise inside of a bell? I don't know what it's called. In my head, it's called the bell, but the gong, that's also a bad word. All right, whatever they call the thing inside of the bell, that's an inbal. Yeah? So, I'm not sure if they called the inbal hotel because of that, but I doubt it. Anyway, whatever. But so if it has an inbal, if it has the thing inside of it, so then it's considered a kli, and then it's Mekabel Tumah. Fadalestle inbal, but if it's missing it, so then it's not Mekabel Tumah. So Zukumar says, 1 second, mimarashach. Either way, it doesn't make sense. Imonahu, if it's considered a kli, right, if it's actually a kli, safopidalestle inbal. Right, even though it doesn't have the thing inside, it should be Mekabel Tumah. Meaning it's not changed at all, right? It still seems to be, right, Rashi says, "Titachshir chashiv leik." It's still considered a decoration. It still has some purpose, even if you take out the thing inside. Ilav manahu, if it's not considered a kli, so in bal masu ilay. So if it's not considered a kli, mishave le mana. If it's not considered a kli, how does how does the inside of a bell make it into a kli? So Gemara says, and actually it does. How do you know that a kli that makes noise is considered a kli Mekabel Tumah? Shenemar, pasuk says, kol davar sheyavo ba'ish, tavir ba'ish. That pasuk is at the end of, again, what we're talking about, the spoils they brought back from Midian. So he says, anything that goes through fire has to be kashered through fire. So Gemara says, kol davar afilu dibur, even something that creates a speech, yavu ba'ish needs to be kashered, meaning it's Mekabel Tumah. So just the fact that you added the thing inside the bell, that creates it into a kli, and therefore it is then Mekabel Tumah. So therefore it works out that if it has the thing inside, it's Mekabel Tumah. If it doesn't, then it's not. So Gemara says, 1 second. But Mayu Kimta, what did you establish this case to? The first Bryce that says it's not Mekabel Tumah, right, the long one that we had on Amud Aleph, the less the inbal, if it doesn't have the thing inside of it, the inbal, therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. What about the middle part of that Bryce that we saw? Below Bezug Shevet Savaro, right, it's not allowed to go out with the bell around its neck, talking about the Eved, but the Eved is allowed to go out with the bell on his clothing. And both of the slaves' bells are Mekabel Tumah. So 1 second, either Leslie Inbal, you're telling me that that whole Brisa is without the thing inside of it. So me Mekabel Tumah. So why would it be Mekabel Tumah? Right? Why would the slave's bell be Mekabel Tumah if it doesn't have the thing inside of the bell? Because we're Minhu. Because I'll show you a stira. Ha'osez zagin machteshes. If you make a bell for a machteshes, Rashi says it's a grinder to make spices, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure how this works, but Rashi says that shakol yofel besamim. Apparently, noise was good for besamim. It's made it smell better. I'm not sure how that works, but basically, when they grinded the samanim, they grinded the spices. Excuse me, then the noise would be better. So they used to put bells on these grinders. So the Brisa says, if you make a bell for a grinder, ule arisa, or for a crib, for a baby, right? Back in the day, a baby rattle, a crib, etc. Ule metavchos svarim, and to put on the outsides of svarim, Rashi says, because the teachers, when they would walk into school, so the kids would know it's time to go learn, so they put the bells on the books. Ule metavchos tinokos, and to put a bell around a kid, right, for reasons, if you need to know where it is, or for whatever, you need to know where the kid is coming, etc. Yeshlein minbal, if they have a thing inside, tamein, einbein minbal tahor, and if they don't have a thing inside, then they're tahor. Niklu invaleihem, if they take the thing of the inbal out, adain tumas aleihem. The tumah is still in there. So clearly, the Brisa says that a bell that never had a thing is not Mekabel Tumah. Yet you're telling me that the slave's bell, without an inbal, is Mekabel Tumah. So how does that work? So Gemara says, you're right, Hani Mili Betinok. No, so that's only by a child. When you're telling me that a bell of a child That depends, so that if it never had a bell, so then it is not makabel tuma, because it's not considered a kli. Delakola avidale, because they're actually made for to make noise. Avogodol, but for a slave, tachshid hule. It's considered to be a tachshid, it's considered to be an adornment. Afagav, the lesle inbals, even if it doesn't have the thing inside of it, so it doesn't need to make noise. The purpose of the slave wearing a bell does not, as we said before, when you bring an animal to the marketplace, it wears a bell to make it look a little prettier. I guess Avodim also had these types of adornments, and when he wore these bells, so they were considered to be a tachshit, and therefore they are, in fact, mekabel toma. Okay. Amar Mar. We had said also in the Braisa, Nitlu in Belehem. I guess that's the one we just quoted, not the one on Amud Aleph. If you take out the thing inside of the bell, Adain Tumasan Alehem. The tuma, the bells are still tuma. So the Gemara says, Lamai Chazu. So what do you do with a bell without a thing inside of it? It doesn't make any noise. So Rabbi, whole Shahed Yod Yachol Achziro. Since anybody can fix a bell and the thing inside of it, so you can fix that very easily. So therefore, it's still considered as if it's inside. If it's still put together. Masiv Rava. Rava says, one second. The Gemara we had earlier. Well, I guess that's in a minute. Not this, but in a couple lines. The Gemara we had earlier. Hazugva inbal chibur. If you have a bell and its thing inside are considered attached. Meaning, and if one of them becomes tame, all of it is tame. So that seems to imply that they are both crucial parts of the keli, right? Because we said that it's something that is two pieces, but you can't use the kli without both pieces. So they're considered to be an integral part of the kli. They're considered to be together. Chibur, they're considered to be connected, and therefore both of them are going to become tame if one piece or the other comes in contact with tuma. So apparently you see that if you take the thing inside of the bell out, so the kli is useless, because they're both crucial parts of the kli. V'chi tema, and if you'll tell me that, hakikama, this is what it means to say, this is what Rava is saying, that meaning Rava's Mishnah is saying that, afagav delo mechaber, kamadim mechaber dami, if you're going to tell me that Rava is saying that even though it's not connected, it's considered to be connected, and that's exactly what Abaye just said. That time, I'll bring you a proof from a Gemara we saw earlier that says that's not true. Mispora shall prokem vizema shall rihatni. Excuse me, rihatni. We have a scissors that is made out of two parts, and this carpenter's tool that also is made of a couple of parts. Chibur l'toma v'in chibur l'hazar. They're considered connected in terms of v'makabel toma. So if any part of the item touches tuma, the whole thing is tame. But in chibur lahazah, but they're not considered together for sprinkling the mechatas. Right, if it comes in touch with the tame mace, so you got to sprinkle some paraduma water on it, and you got to get each piece. You can't just do one part of it. Normally, if they're considered chibur, if they're considered together, you could just sprinkle on one piece, and that would spread to everything else. But here, it's not considered chibur for the sprinkling. And the Gemara says varmina manavshach, and we said either way, it doesn't make sense. I chibur hu. If it's really connected, so afilu lahaza, it should work even for sprinkling. Afilu lo chiburu, and if it's not really connected, afilu l'tuma namilo, it shouldn't be connected for tuma. Both pieces should be individually, it should be individual in terms of being mekabel tuma. Right? One side of the scissors shouldn't necessarily be metame the other side of the scissors. So and Rabba explained. How do we explain over there? Really, Dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur bein l'tuma bein lahaza. When you're using it, it's considered tame for both of them. Shalom b'shas malacha, if you're not using it, eino chibur lo l'tuma v'lo lazo, it's not considered together at all. V'gazar al l'tuma shalom b'shas malacha v'shom l'tuma shi b'shas malacha v'al azo shi b'shas malacha v'shom azo shalom b'shas malacha. And Chazal were gozer to be machmir in both cases. So therefore, when you're in terms of b'shas malacha, in terms of the b'mekabel tuma, so we're gozer that regardless, right, of whether you're using it or not, right, the chumra tzad is that it should be mekabel tuma whenever, and the chumra tzad by sprinkling though is that you should have to sprinkle on each one. But regardless, what does that brisa say? That when they're connected, then they are considered one kli. But if they're taken apart, Even if you could reattach them, theoretically, even if you could reattach them, they're not considered chibur. Therefore, you can't tell me that the bell is considered put together, even though it's easy to put it back together, but the pieces are apart. They're not going to be considered put together. They're separated. Well, you see that if they're separated, they're separated, regardless of how easy it is to put back together. Elo Amarava, rather, Rava says, and we'll finish with this, Hoel v'roi lakishu agami cheres. What is a bell able to be used for? If it doesn't have a thing inside, you can smack it on top of some pottery, and it'll still make a noise. And therefore, it's still useful, and therefore, it's still considered a kli, and therefore, it's still makabel tuma. And then Marnami has also said, Amar Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, Hoel v'roi lakishu agave cheres. Okay, we'll go weiter with a little bit more of this discussion tomorrow. And it's Hashem, weiter in the Heilige Shas. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.